You are listening to the weekly podcast of Journey Christian Church, located on 441 1 Mile North of Maitland Boulevard, 1965 South Orange Blossom Trail in Apopka, Florida. Our website, journeychristian.com. This weekend, we started our new series called The Pursuit of Happy. Today, Pastor of Student Ministries, Eddie Smith, will be focusing in on the Beatitudes of Jesus to see how we can truly have happiness and have what some call the good life, seeing that we are truly blessed by God and that we need to look to the cross for life. Our scripture text comes from Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Today's message is entitled, Happy Is.
You guys, we are in the series, like I said before, in a series called The Pursuit of Happy. And we're looking at what does it mean to be happy. And so I stole the church Facebook page, and I decided to send a viral video out to tens of people to see what does happiness mean to you. And here are some of the responses. One person said, it's actually Pastor Ryan Tucker, he said, happiness equals queso, like nachos. Some of you guys didn't get that, okay. Mental note, don't say that again, okay. Next one, what makes me happy is making other people happy. That's nice, okay? Happiness is the overwhelming feeling of joy, the inability to not smile, the pride you have for a loved one, the taste of chocolate on your tongue, dancing to your favorite song. Happiness comes from love, love for people, things, and life. Aww, nice, a good Hallmark card right there. My grandma, who doesn't have a Facebook, so my mom wrote it instead. She goes, Grandma said, I don't know why my mom talks that way, but Grandma said, happiness is chocolate and a good book. One person said, true happiness is tacos. Everyone knows that. Happiness is the feeling about being content about the path you're on, knowing that Jesus is right beside your side. Happiness, this is one of my favorites. Happiness to me means changing my life to do what God has asked me to do so that I may live the life that he had planned for me. This weekend, you know, we're celebrating grads, and it's a huge milestone in their life. And this isn't the only milestone in a student's life. One of the milestones that we as a church celebrate is actually going from elementary school into middle school. And some of you guys know that's kind of a hard transition. So we as a church, we want to help celebrate that. And so we did an overnight event on Friday night, okay? And I preached the next day. And so my current definition of happiness is seeing the last middle schooler leave from the overnighter, all right? Seriously, when I was trying to get those guys to go to bed, I have never heard so many guys make fake fart noises at once. You know, no matter what your definition of happiness is, it's probably not what you think it is. And so in this series, we're going to be looking at this idea of the pursuit of happy. And this was an idea that John actually kind of came up before he left for his sabbatical. So if you guys don't know, our lead pastor is gone for the summer. And on Wednesday, I believe, he showed up with this shirt on, okay? He's a little nervous right now because whenever Ryan Tucker has that smile and he's that close to you, we all get nervous, okay? But he has this shirt on, and I have to be honest with you, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. There's a lot of times the butter falls off my biscuit. I'm just not that bright, okay? But for the life of me, I could not read this shirt, okay? Now, I'm two classes away of having my master's. I think I know somewhat about the Bible. I could not read this. I could not read it to save my life. And he broke it down. It's my sabbatical shirt. So, two things I've learned from this. One, he's definitely excited for his sabbatical, okay? But two, if you make him a personalized shirt, he's probably going to wear it. So that's a good mental note. But while John is away, I'm just envisioning him getting suntanned like David Hasselhoff on Baywatch. Please do not email him, okay? I cannot believe what the student pastor did while he was while you were gone. Okay. You can, yes. No one wants to see that. But seriously, why are we doing this series at this time? I think, I really believe for two reasons. One, I believe that we as just a culture, we've kind of fallen to the trap of believing the winner's script, as one Christian writer describes it, the winner's script. And this is where everything is just up and to the right. You graduate from high school, you land the college that you want, you get perfect grades, and you land the dream job with the dream girl that you met at the school or the dream guy. Then all of a sudden you have 2.5 kids, you white picket fence, you get that promotion every time it comes up, you get the pay raise, you get the bonuses, and everything seems to be going perfectly. And the reality is, and you guys know this, that's just not true. It's just not true. And the second reason is because I believe there's so much negativity and junk going on in our life and in around the world that we need to be reminded that we have our hope in Jesus. And so we're going to be looking at this series this summer because happiness is probably not what you think it is. Now, some of you guys who know me well, you're going, Ed, I don't know if you're the guy to be describing what this is today because I have a lot of stuff in my life and things seem to be going really well. And honestly, I am in a season where things are going really well for me. I'm loving what I'm doing at the church. I'm loving what I'm able to do outside of the church. And honestly, within my family, my wife and I, we're excited because we are pregnant with our first kid and we're just excited. And it's incredibly humbling because things have been, every time we go to the doctor, it's green light, she's perfect, she's doing great, right track. And it's humbling because I know so many of you guys' stories and I know that that's not the case with everyone. And so to me today, this is a little bit of a humbling message because I need to look at my life, and I know that there will be times when things are going to go bad. So we're going to be exploring the biggest teaching of Jesus's teachings all in one block. It's called the Sermon of the Mount, and specifically the Beatitudes. And one Christian writer describes the Beatitudes this way. The Beatitudes of Jesus is nothing short of a revolution of evaluation. And this summer, we're going to be pressing pause. And in the midst of all the craziness of our life, we're going to be pressing pause and evaluate who we are in Jesus and his views of us. So today, we're going to be looking at the Beatitudes kind of from a 30,000-foot view. Imagine you're in a plane and you're seeing the landscape and the mountains and the swamps. If you're flying over Florida, okay? We're going to be doing a big view today. And so, I want us to first look at this word that we heard Abby say over and over again. And that is this word, blessed. Blessed actually comes from this word, makarios. Can everyone say makarios? Let's try that again. Makarios. Okay, there you go. You guys are on your way to becoming Greek scholars. This is a very loaded word, and this word typically is translated as blessed or happy, which is how we got this idea of the pursuit of happy. But it also can be described as fortunate or it is well with you. One Christian writer actually describes it as congratulations, right? Seems appropriate for graduation weekend. You see, makarios describes the man or woman who is favored by God and therefore, in some sense, happy, but it may look like it in unusual ways. You see, in the Beatitudes, there seems to be an unusual definition of what does it mean to be blessed. So in order to help illustrate this tension that we find in these Beatitudes, I decided to make up some Beatitudes. Is that okay if I share with you some of my fake Beatitudes? They're not real, so Mom and Dad, you can't hold them against the graduates. But I made these for a couple of you a couple of you grads. All right, so here's the first one. Blessed are you when you run out of the last package of ramen noodles, for you will see what it's like to be dependent on God. Or until your dad yells at you to get a job. Happy are you who had your boyfriend break up with you after the first week of college, for Jesus is the only boy you need in your life. All the moms and women in here said, yeah, amen. Congratulations to you who finds out that you have a paper due the next day. You will finally learn what it means to pray to God. You see, there is a tension in these Beatitudes between our current circumstances and what God calls us as. And so I want us to look at a few themes that we see in this word blessed. And the first one is this: the one who is blessed by the God of Israel. You are not blessed by your hard work or your own self-doing. I mean, that's what we're told in America, right? That if we work really hard, that that is how we get ahead. And though there's aspects of that to be true, God is the one who blesses. Being blessed is not being defined by our wealth or our status or how many zeros we have in our bank account, but rather the God of the universe is the one who blesses you and I. You see, we have this phrase in America. It's a little old now, but it's called YOLO. Okay, some of the younger people, you only live once. This idea that that you better live the best life now in order to soak everything out of life, and somehow we think that's being blessed, and it's not. The second big theme here in the word blessed is that there is a clear vision in the word blessed. The kingdom of God is a major theme in the New Testament. It is a huge teaching that Jesus talks about. He talks about the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, and we see this idea that Jesus is announcing the kingdom, but we see this tension of being here and not yet. Now, some of you guys are really bright, and you go, Eddie, how can something be here and not yet? I would say, you're right. You are really bright. You get a gold star today. Here and not yet. This is what we mean by this, and this is what a lot of Christian scholars would argue, that the kingdom of God is here, that Jesus came, he lived a life displaying what the kingdom of God looks like, specifically through the Beatitudes and other teachings, and he came and he gave the best demonstration of what the kingdom of God looks like by laying down his life for the sins of the world. And when he died and when he conquered death, there is a sense of freedom to be found in his name, and you are now found in the kingdom because the kingdom is here through Jesus. On the flip side, and we all know this, there is sin still in this world. Amen. There is heartbreak still to be found. There are people that still don't know what it's like to live in the life of Jesus. And so, we know that Jesus will come back again. We know that there will be a day where there will be no more tears, there will be no more sorrow, and there will be no more sin. And right now, we stand in the gap because, yes, the kingdom is here, but it's not fully here yet when Jesus comes back. And so we live in this tension of here and now. You see, the Beatitudes are giving us a preview of what's ahead. There is a gap between how this world is and how this world will be one day. And God calls us to stand in the gap and to be faithful to him. You see, while these blessings, their focus is on the future, they begin right now. We do not see Jesus saying, you will one day be blessed. No, he says, you are blessed. Those who are mourning, those who are poor in spirit, those who are persecuted, meek, and thirst righteousness and seek peace. Jesus is saying, you are blessed right now. The scripture that comes to my mind is John 16:33, and it says this, I have told you these things, Jesus says, so that in me you may have peace. I don't know about you, but I need some peace in my life. So that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You see, Jesus is saying right here and now that not one day you will be blessed, but right now you are blessed. Your life may not look like it. You may be struggling through things, but right now God looks at you and says, you are blessed. And so the third big theme is that being blessed is a posture, not a feeling. You see, it's a way of living. It's a lifestyle of wanting to understand and not just wanting to be understood. We take the humble position of being like Jesus. The Beatitudes are a reflection of what does it mean to be like Jesus. Going back to Scott McKnight, he says this is a blessed person. A blessed person is someone who, because of a heart for God, is promised and enjoys God's favor regardless of that person's status or countercultural condition. Did you know, talking about this idea of the kingdom, did you know that we all have a kingdom? We do. You have a kingdom. I have a kingdom. My kingdom probably looks different than yours, and yours probably looks different from the people around you, but we all have a kingdom, and it looks like this. We get up, we have our little domain called work where we can tell people what to do, or we can type in numbers. We have our little area where we reside at our castle where we can tell the dishes where to go and we can tell the clothes where to lay. And we have resources. You know that? We have resources. It's either called money, and for graduates, you don't have that, so you have time, okay? So we have these resources and we all have our own little kingdoms. And if we fall into the trap, we will just live in that little kingdom. And so my question to you, are you just living in your little kingdom or are you living in God's kingdom? Some of you are saying, Ed, my life's going great. I love my kingdom. It's a growing kingdom. We're taking over other kingdoms. Things are going really well. I don't want to mess up my kingdom. Some of you guys might be honestly confused which kingdom you're probably really living in. So let me help you with a couple questions. And how you answer these questions might help you see what kingdom you're living in. The first question is this: how can others serve me? See, you in this kingdom, you love this word, me. How can others serve me? And then there's others in you, others in here that ask this question, how can I serve others? You see, how you answer these questions probably say where your kingdom is at. And you know that there are values in the kingdom. Your life, you have certain values. In God's kingdom, there are certain values. And here's the values of our world today: sex, money, and power. As opposed to God's values, faithfulness, being sacrificial, and humility. And here's the reality. If we're pursuing one more than the other, I would really just question you what kingdom you are living in. You know, you might be saying, Ed, I'm not, you know, explicitly running after these things. My life is pretty normal. I have a job and things are going okay. I'm not really running after those things. Well, this is called an organizational chart. Graduates, you are right down here, okay? Learn to love that spot, all right? And here's the reality. No matter where you fall in this chart, and I know people in this church, you fall all throughout here. It's not about the position that you have, but it's the posture that you take. And here's the deal. Whether you are here or you are here, if you're living in God's kingdom, you're asking the question, how can I serve others? You know, if you're valuing sex, money, and power, and you're always wanting more power, and you're wanting to use these other people to climb eventually to this spot, because that's where we want to be, right? We don't want to stay here for 40 years. No, we want to eventually end up here. But the values of the kingdom would argue that no matter where you're at, are you pursuing faithfulness, sacrifice, and humility? Because the Beatitudes point to these things. And in your life, the things that you will be most known for is not where you fall here, but it's the attitudes that you have. It's the people you influence. You see, your kingdom could be growing and getting bigger. Maybe your kingdom is shattering right before your eyes. And maybe some of you feel like you have no kingdom at all. But remember that posture matters more than position. That the posture that you're taking, that you're saying, I want to be like Jesus. God, I want to fall onto your feet, God, and I want to worship and serve you. And wherever you take me, whether that's the janitor guy or the CEO, I want to follow you because it's the posture that matters more than the position. So Jesus looks at these three kinds. Jesus in the Beatitudes looks at the posture of three different types of people. And I want us to just look at this from a big view standpoint. Jesus blesses three kinds of people. Those who are humble, poor. Those who pursue righteousness and justice, and those who create peace. Does this look like your life? If we're just being honest, right? We just want to be honest here. Would people say, you know what? That person always pursues righteousness or justice. Maybe they might say that, but maybe they say that because you want to get ahead, and so you want other people to be put to right. But it's just because you want to get ahead. Are you trying to be a person that creates peace? So let me ask you a non-trick, classic church answer, and I need you guys to respond. Out of these, who best represents these? Some of you guys are a little confused, okay? It's not a trick answer. Let's try this again. Who best represents these? Jesus. Yes. And more specifically, Jesus on the cross. Listen to Ephesians 2, one of my favorite sections of scripture. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Let's just pause there. Let's just imagine everyone had the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Can you guys fathom what driving here in Florida would look like? You know what? Get ahead. You know what? You just slammed on your brakes. We almost got in a car accident. Don't worry about it. I'm not going anywhere. Nowhere important. I'm just driving in circles. Just imagine what it would look like. Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality God something to be used to his own advantage. Think of that organization chart that we just thought of. Did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. Do you hear that idea of faithfulness? By becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. friends, but it doesn't end there. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, only in the kingdom of God does those who lay down their life get blessed by God. You see, happiness is not what it seems. And so I wanted to boil it down to one basic idea. The tech guy said this one basic idea, simple sentence, just one sentence. They said it was too long, but I said, you know what? I challenge you. Let's try to make this really long sentence. You guys ready for this? Here's my big idea. You guys ready for this? Saturday night didn't get that this was a joke, okay? Here it is. Jesus is in the business of flipping the entire world on its head, and he's starting at the cross and wants to use you and I to help further the coming of the kingdom by being ridiculously awesome and humble in the ways of being like Jesus, and calls all of us to race towards righteousness, justice, and peace so that the entire world can find freedom and salvation when they worship and serve the living King, even though they will experience many trials along the way. And he says it will be worth it all. Hashtag blessed. You see, Jesus is in the business of forming people to be like Jesus and to live a cross-shaped life. You see, the cross makes us look to God and to love like him. And here's the real big idea. The pursuit of happy leads to exhaustion. And some of us in here are feeling that today. Some of us feel like a hamster in a wheel, going nowhere. And some of us here today need to know that we're going down a wrong path that just ultimately will lead to exhaustion. But the pursuit of the cross leads to life. One more verse, one more scripture. Romans 5, 6 through 8 says this. You see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But here it is. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. You know, when I was a little kid, just old enough to ride my bike, I was riding around the neighborhood, and one of the neighbor's boys was out there, and he was taller than me, bigger than me, older than me. And I ran by him on my bike, and I almost hit him. And he got so incredibly frustrated at me that he was running after me and headed to my house. And I'm dropping my bike down. I'm sprinting toward the door. And at that moment, my dad steps out into the front porch, and he looks at this kid and says, "If you mess with my son, you're gonna mess with me." And I thought about that. And I thought about this picture of my dad stepping in front of me, taking the burden in front of me, something that I didn't deserve. And here's the deal. When we see this text that says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God steps in front of us and says, I'm gonna take the cost. I'm going to take the burden of your sins, though you don't deserve them, though you have done all these bad things and you deserve death, I'm going to take the burden. Christ has died for you and I. And so for the call of today is not to run to the pursuit of happy, but to run to the cross. So some of us in here have not done that. And so my call to you is to run to the cross. Drop your bags of burden, of shame, hardship, and run to the cross. And some of us in here have forgotten what it's like to go to the cross. We've been coming here for a while, and some of us just need to be reminded, you know what? I've been doing this whole church game, I've been doing this whole Christian life, and we failed to remember the impact of the cross. And so my call to you today is to run to the cross. No matter where you fall, we all have a next step in our walk with God. And so if you guys would mind just standing as I pray, would love to pray for you. And specifically in here, if you are feeling a burden for something today, my call to you is to drop it and leave it at the cross. Let's pray. Father, God, we come before you, God, knowing that we have our own little kingdoms, God, and we just want to lay them before you right now, God, saying we want to live a bigger story. We want to live in your kingdom, God. So, Father, I pray right now for every person that's in here, God, may we run to the cross. God, help us to see you for who you are. And God, we're just so incredibly humbled that your son humbled himself, came to earth, and died on a cross for you and I. God, we pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message, Happy Is, with Pastor of Student Ministries, Eddie Smith. For service times and more information about Journey Christian Church, please log on to our website anytime at journeychristian.com or call 407-88-GRACE. That's 407-884-7223.